Okay. What I want to do is I want to analyze the Hilm Saad Diyalis, but at the very outset, we all know that it's an eighth Surah now for Klal Yisrael. It's a time of Hesed upon him, and unfortunately, in the Jewish community, we have been stricken by this Magefa, this Mashlis, proportionally higher, unfortunately, than the community at large. And in the yeshiva community, I'm sure everybody is doing tshuva and saying vidui in terms of the societal communal sins that we personally partake in. And hopefully it'll raise us to a higher level and our tfilos will be answered as we appeal, and we should be zocha to Boreolam's midas rachamim. Now, besides the physical damages that this magefa is causing, a lot of people have anxiety, they're nervous, there's a lot unknown about the virus, it raises fears and trepidations, people are insecure. And it's not just the virus, these fears and trepidations can plague many people whenever there are climactic events in their life. And many of us on a daily basis are nervous. So I think this pereg will help a lot. This pereg is very unique. Matter of fact, most of the Farshim say that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote this this pereg to Tehillim, as opposed to David HaMelech. And the Radak says that this pereg in Tehillim, Tzadi Aleph, is sod gadol l'mavinim. It's a basic principle, a great principle, for those who understand it, metaphysical principle, philosophical principle, but a great one for those who understand it. And he also calls it a pereg, which is hatzolas minazikim. It saves someone from those damaging forces, from things that can harm him. So I think it's appropriate that we learn it. Now I'm going to use most of the mefarshim I'll be reading on this. To help me elaborate is going to be Rashi, the Radak, the Ibn Ezra, I guess Mitzudas David. We'll go through it, and I'll elaborate my thoughts on what they're trying to say. But as a caveat, I'm sure all the Bnei Yeshiva know that any thoughts, ideas which seem to be novel, are really only a reflection of the thoughts of the Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe, who I've learned with so many years, and whose perspective is really my perspective. And I hope I can just do it justice. So let's start with the first pasuk. And if you have any questions, just unmute by star one and ask. But just recognize that there's a flow to the pasukim, and we want to try to do the whole parak. But yes, if you don't understand something, please feel free to interrupt. So the first pasuk says, Yoshev b'seser elyon, b'tzel shakai yislonan, that someone who dwells in the covert, the secrets of the Most High, of Elyon, b'tzel shakai yislonan, in the shade of the Almighty, that's where he rests, that's where he lodges, yislonan. So Rashi immediately says that this is talking that one who takes shelter in the covert of Klapei Hashchina, in the wings of God, he will reside in Hashem's shadow, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him. Now, what do we mean by Klapei Hashchina? It's a term utilized in reference to Boreolam, to Hashem as being a protector. For example, when someone is taken under someone's wings, it means that he's under his protection. So therefore means it's talking about someone who looks to Boreolam as his protection. But it's very interesting. Mitzudas David is fascinating. He says, someone who is hamizbodeid ba'avodas Hashem uve'in iyun seiset torasso, that someone who is compelled in his life to be involved in avodas Hashem and to be ma'ayin and to analyze the seiser Torah, the secrets of the Torah. Now, a secret is something which is only known to the one who it is told. So this person, it's significant to a person who is misbodeh bavodas Hashem. He's an eved Hashem, and we know what is an eved Hashem. One whose existence is defined as an eved Hashem. He's the only one who's a ben chorin because he's not enslaved to his passions. He's not enslaved to his desires, and such a person will analyze the Sefer Torah. In other words, the person appears as a regular functioning person. He's a member of society. But his only true source of reality, the place where he sits, his only source of protection is Sefer Elyon and Bethel Shakai Yisolon. In the shadow of Shakai, he will reside. That's his source of reality. And when that person has that as his center of his existence, his perspective on life is changed. And it's very interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu uses the name Shakai, because we know that in the Torah it tells us Hashem tells Moshe, "Shmi Hashem lo nodati lachem," that I didn't appear to the Avos. They didn't know my Shem Havaya, but only Bekel Shakai. Bekel Shakai means that they recognized God's existence. It was enough just by looking at the laws of nature, at the world. They see God's Chachma in every aspect of creation, whether it be the stars, the heavens, anything works with the laws of cause and effect, the laws of Teva, which are a reflection of the Chachmas of Borei Olam, the infinite Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was sufficient. Hashem's existence is, as a source of reality, was the only compelling existence for the Avos. And that's really what this parag is telling us at the very outset, that a person who is Yislonan, Betzel Shakai Yislonan, he resides. Now, what does mean Yislonan? When Yaakov was passing over the Makom Hamigdash, what did Hashem say? Lino po halayla. Lina, we know the halachas of Lina. When one stays over in Yerushalayim, it's not a geographical, simply he's staying there, but it's a term when one encounters, he has a rendezvous with his creator, with the Borei Olam. He's compelled to stay in line with that reality. So a person who dwells in the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he takes refuge, he has Lina, he's Lan in Shakai. His relationship with God as the source of reality is sufficient, and he is Lan in that relationship. And that's what it means, Betzel Shakai, in the shadow. You see, when he resides in God's shadow, it's a reality. And what is a shadow? A shadow protects one from the dangers of the sun. So too, Borei Olam is his protection. Since to him he has a proper perspective, Kadosh Baruch Hu is his reality and his protection, it protects him. What is it, the sun? Betzel, the shade protects from the sun. The sun really represents the light, the daily occurrences, the travails and worries and enticements of daily existence, which can have a dramatic effect on other people and lure them into a wasted life. He is one who is the Tzel Shakai. And Mitzudas Sion says that Betzel Shakai Yiflonan is not referring to Hashgachas Hashem as yet, but it's talking about not Hashem's response to such a person, but it's talking about the individual himself. He initiates his relationship with Borei Olam. He dwells in the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of his perspective, it's initiated by individual. He is the one who on his own wants to live in that reality. The world of the social is not such a compelling factor to this person. His life is the world of ideas, the world of justice, the world of ethics, the world of morality, the world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only true existence. And then the next pasuk says, and you'll see when we go through the Pesukim, Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he weaves the Pesukim is just incredible. It just like follows. It's beautiful. It's really poetic. And the ideas are just, you know, are just eye-opening. Omer L'Hashem, so such a person who dwells in the Seis Elyon, he says to Hashem, Machsi umutsudasi, Hashem, you are my shelter and my fortress. Elokai, you are my God, Eftach Bo, whom I place my trust. The Eben Ezra tells us then when it says Omer Lashem, it means Avor Hashem, because of Hashem. Since Borei Olam is my shelter and my fortress, it is in God whom I trust. Moshe is teaching us that since Hashem is his shelter, Hashem is what shelters him from the forces of his daily life. He's not carried away with his instinctual pleasures and his emotional desires, but Hashem is his fortress. It is the place where he goes for protection. When danger lurks, like a fortress protects a person, when a climactic event occurs in this individual's life, which other people can succumb to much pain and difficulty and daigos, Hashem is his fortress. His protection is his relationship with the Borei Olam. That's a qualitatively different type of person. That's a person who is Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, who's Bodei B'Sisrei HaTorah. He's compelled to be an Eved Hashem, and he's involved in that existence. So when the person says, Elokai, he is my God, it's a personal relationship. That is the God who he trusts in. Eftach Bo. And what does it mean by Haftacha? Haftacha really means that the person's source of reality and security and where man places trust is owing in Borei Olam. And the Rosh Yeshiva explained the true concept of Haftacha to us many times, but I think to appreciate it, we look back in the Torah by Yosef, when Yosef was imprisoned and the baker and the steward came to him to interpret their dreams. And he interprets their dreams, but then he has a caveat at the end. And he tells them, please remember me to Paro, and I'm innocent. I'm only been in jail because my brother sold me here. But please remember me to Paro, because Yosef was betuach b'chachmaso, and he was quite confident that his interpretation would actually come true. And, of course, it did. But he was punished, Chazal say, because he lacked bitachon. And he had to stay in jail longer. What does it mean that he lacked bitachon? It means because he felt the need to bear his soul to the Sar HaMashke. He looked for compassion. He looked for security from man. And because the rational thing would have been for him just to remain silent. But the moment he bared his soul and said, remember me, I'm innocent. He was like every other person in jail. No one commits crimes in jail. They're all innocent. And that's at that point, the Sar HaMashke's image of Yosef was shattered. And therefore, Vatishkach, he forgot him. And that was the lack of bitachon. Al tiftachu, David HaMelech tells us, b'nedivim, but then adam shein lo tshua teitze rucho yashav l'admaso. Don't take your security from fellow man. The moment His spirit is gone, he goes to the ground. Basically, we're nothing more than worm food. And that doesn't mean that's not being despondent, but it's really to blunt man's arrogance and to recognize that his only security in this world, his only true security, can come from his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And such a person whose relationship with Hashem is the source of reality and justice, and he acts with the Tzelem Elokim, his rational faculty that was bestowed by Borei Olam, and that is the source of security, then his life will be a different life. Since Hashem is his shelter and his fortress, it's Elokai, it's his God, he will be shielded. The pasuk continues. Gimel, he will be shield. Hu yatzilcha, Hashem. Now it's gonna. The pasuk is gonna go into the hashpachas Hashem. Ki hu yatzilcha mipach yachush. He will be saved from the snare that traps, midever habubos, from devastating pestilence. What does that mean? So it's interesting. The Radak says that a well, first Rashi tells us that a person who's Yoshev B'Sefer Elyon, he will tell everybody that Hashem is Machsi Musadasi, that God is my fortress and my protection, and in his reality, Hashem is his only source of B'tachon, and all his decision-making processes. Then the response is Hashem will save him from the snare that traps and his destinating pestilence. And that's what Radak says. It follows from such a personality looks to Hashem as that, then as a source of reality, then Hashem will save him. A snare that traps, Yakush means that traps. Mitzvah Siyam has an interesting idea. He says that Yakush is a lashon of vocation, obstacle. See, most HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save him from obstacles that most people in their lives will pray in the daily world. I would say it means the temptations of a purely physical existence. The corruptive influences of a decadent philosophy, all these things are obstacles that are part of one's daily existence. But Hashem, it continues, will also protect him from the devastating pestilence, Dever HaVuvos. And Ebenezer states that the Dever HaVuvos, the pestilence, occurs pisom, suddenly, a tragic event in one's life that occurs without warning, pisom. I remember Rebbe describing this from the Rav, that sometimes events that can, climactic events in one's life, can occur in such a quick fashion, and it can change a person and transform his life and values. And many times depression can set in, he can't function, he's anxious. For example, like the coronavirus, it came out of nowhere. A person could be paralyzed with fear. However, a man of MS, of justice, whose everyday existence and occurrences are reflection of Borei Olam's will, you see, even the most tragic events, which occur pisom, suddenly, out of nowhere, will not corrupt or harm the individual. And I think the Radak in the next pasuk, I just want to jump there quickly because it really follows, and I think it will be relevant to our modern day dilemmas, to modern day travails. It says, "Be'ever so Yosef Loch, in his wings he will cover you, v'sachas knafav hechusa, and under his rings you will take will be your shield, you will take refuge, and seen of his socher amito. His truth is your encompassing shield." Now, it's interesting. What's be'ever so Yosef Loch? And that's what I want there. It's amazing Radak. Radak says, Mafkia hazman shalo yogiulach. God will protect you from the daily occurrences that occurs throughout one's life that it shouldn't affect him. I think we can understand what the Radak is talking about, really, with today's coronavirus. I mean, people are quarantined in their house. They don't go out. They barely go out. They're afraid, their fears, the unknown. I was speaking to a fellow, someone who I do business with on occasions, and he told me, he said, "You know, I just can't take it. I'm dying of boredom," he says. "I just can't take it in my house, and I'm dying of boredom." And then I thought to myself, and whenever he's in work, he's always telling me he wants to go on vacation. He's dying to go on vacation. So basically, his existence is one of dying. What does that really mean? Because his world is the world of the social. It's not the world that Yoshev B'Sefer Elyon. It's a world where man's existence is the mundane existence, the material world. And such a person, when you know, he can never find satisfaction in this world. He always needs distractions in the world of the material, in the world of the social. That's his reality. And social distancing, to stay away from somebody, is painful. He can't go to the bars. He can't talk with people. It's painful. But a chacham, I mean, look at the opportunity we have. People don't have to go to work. If they work, they can work on the computers. There are so many shiurim involved. You can go through so many tapes of the Rosh Yeshiva. You can call your friends who you can't speak to during the day at work, and you can discuss ideas with them. You don't have to waste your time going shopping. They bring the groceries to you. You don't have to put up with all kinds of nonsense. Social distancing, okay, it's not the way you can, it's not comfortable, but you know, a person can channel his energy to the world of thought and be involved in chokhmah to great extent. So it means what Chazal is teaching us, what the Radak is telling us, is that a person who has these proper values and Borei Olam is the source of his reality, when traumatic and climactic events take down other people, a chacham is able to function at the highest level. But ever so yasaklach. And and Ibn Ezra states that it, like an eagle spreads its wing to protect its young, so too Hashem protects a person. And it refers back to the previous pasuk. It protects a person from the pach yachush, from the obstacles of daily existence that cause other people to stumble. Hashem will ensure through hashgacha, and this is what we mean now with the response of Borei Olam, Hashem will make sure that the events of daily life will enable a person who seeks the truth and leads a life of justice to succeed and be protected from the pratfalls of daily existence. Sina v'socheram amito. His truth is his encompassing shield. The pasuk is now explaining that the person who functions in line with reality and justice, and Borei Olam is his refuge and protection, the hashgacha will function in this manner because in reality, the truth is his shield. That's his sechora. Rashi explains as all-encompassing. It surrounds man on all four sides. Wherever he goes, he operates and functions based upon the principles of truth. He could have a business deal. He knows in this business deal, he just has to make one misrepresentation and he can make tons of money. He can go ahead and he can hoard all kinds of medical equipment, keep it in his garage and sell it and make a lot of money. But a man who's guided by the truth will not fall prey. Mitzudas David says that amitaso is amitas haftachaso, is that the truth, which is his haftacha and his trust in Hashem. That means he separates and functions only on a level based on his truth. That's the shield that protects him. No matter the temptations or the travails of the daily existence, the person is never deterred. He sees things with his yosher, with truth, reality. Ritzon Hashem is the only thing which is compelling to him. He's an Eved Hashem. That's his existence. That's the definition of the person. And such a person, Hashem will protect from corruption. I had another interesting idea what the Radak means about the Pagei Hazman from daily occurrences. I think it could also mean that it's telling us a little bit about the personality of the individual who is Yoshev B'Sefer Elyon, who's seen of a Socheira Amito, that truth is his protective shield. I think this person, so you get a flavor of this Talmud Chacham that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking about, is many people in their life, when they get older, they get depressed, they have a midlife crisis, and what's the response? It's either loss of energy, depression, or they go the opposite, denial. They buy a sports car. But really, what's going on is that they're denying reality. It's a reaction formation because basically the fear of death, the end of the physical pleasures is getting closer, and they can't handle that. They try to insulate themselves from that. But a man who functions in reality, and Hashem is his security, he's not going to be affected by such things. He will continue in the quest for truth. the events in his daily existence will be handled the Selamelo can. He's not going to celebrate birthdays when he gets older. That's a celebration of wasted energy. Rather, he'll have an appreciation that it's the passage of time, and he has the opportunity as he gets older to learn from life experiences, and he'll realize and appreciate the value of time, how significant it is, and not to waste his time. So he learns from Tigay Hazman. That's what the Radak is telling us. It's a qualitatively different type of existence. It's an interesting, I think what Chazal is teaching us, what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us in this parsha, he's painting a picture of a unique individual who can function in this world at the highest levels and have the happiest existence. Does it make sense so far, guys? Are you there? I just don't want to think I'm speaking to air. These are very interesting ideas. Any comments, thoughts? Okay, let's continue. So now we go to Pasuk Hey. Lo sira mipachad laila mechetz ya'uf yomam. He will not fear the fright of night and the arrow that flies by day. What does this mean? So Rashi says, you will not fear if you trust in God. That means if you recognize that Hashem is the source of reality, then a person will not fear. Because true bitachon is not a regression into an infantile state where Hashem is simply there to take care of his personal needs as his father and mother. But this type of individual who has a dependent type of personality, depending upon God simply there to take care of his needs, he'll never be able to handle tragedy. He'll be riddled with fears. However, one who has true faith in Hashem, the self becomes less important. He's more concerned with his quest for knowledge and recognition that Hashem is the only true existence, is the source of reality. And his learning allows him to recognize and channels his energies in pursuit of Chachma. He will respond to tragedies in a rational way. When the coronavirus comes, he's not going to sit in his house riddled with fear, but he will use it as an opportunity to understand unfortunately, we have Hashkachos Hashem is gone. It's Hester upon him. Why? What have we done? What are the sins that Klal Yisrael have caused us to have this tragedy? And he'll analyze societal sins, and he'll recognize what they are. He'll analyze the Magefas in the Torah, and then he'll realize that he's a Chote as well. He'll analyze his personality, and he'll take those traits which he participates in societal failures, and he'll utilize his time to improve himself. So when Chasdei Hashem comes back, and the Magefa and Hefka upon him is over, he'll be able to live life in a higher level, a level of truth. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us. And what it says, Pachad Laila, he doesn't fear Pachad Laila, the fear of night, and Mechetz Yof Yomam, and the arrow that flies by day. So Radak says, why Mipachad Laila? He says it's the solitude of light, of night, meaning because at night a person is alone, he's afraid. And the Tzudas David says that the Shadim rule at night. See, a person who does not recognize Hashem in the proper perspective, he's always going to have a lot of fear. And at night there are Shadim, there are demons. There are demons, which really, what are they? They're the fears that a person perceives as reality. It overwhelms a person because he's more susceptible to fears because he is alone, it's at nighttime, it's conducive to the person's imagination, the fears of the unknown will overwhelm him. I mean, that's why the Rabban, I believe, in Allah Torah says that the Shadim appears to a person alone in the desert. But when a person recognizes Borei Olam as a source of reality, he recognizes the nighttime is merely another phenomenon of nature. And rather than allowing the instinctual part of man to dominate, which is easier at night, right? The people say, let's go party at night, because that part of man now, the sun in broad daylight is guilt. He can now be involved in purely the instinctual activities and he parties. But at nighttime for a chacham, it's an opportunity to pursue chachma during the quiet of the night. I mean, the Rambam says that rov chachmaso belayla, the keset Torah can only be earned when a person is involved. He uses his nights to be involved in like the Mitzvah David said, in the Sifrei Torah, in the Sefer Torah. And a person, nor such a person, also it says, Miches Yav Yomam, from the arrow that flies by day. Rashi says the demons that fly like an arrow. The demons fly like an arrow. It means a person fears during the day are more latent. So when an event during the day occurs that triggers its fears, it presents itself like a flying arrow. Pissom, or comes suddenly. And the fear is so overwhelming that it pierces and harms the individual as a flying arrow. That's what Radak says. The happenings and the daily occurrence and misfortunes of time, he says, Radak, are the arrows that fly and come suddenly on a person. Amazing. However, a person who has betachon in Borei Olam and Hashem, he does not harbor these fears. The events that occur, the travails of the daily existence, he knows, are merely a reflection of God's will and fear, which emanates only from man's imagination. That's where the fear comes. It's not a part of this person's makeup. He is Yiras Hashem. He's constantly involved in the world of the ideational and pursuit of Chachma. And he learns from life experiences, and he uses them to improve himself. He's not afraid. During Corona, he's Chozer B'Tshuva. He recognizes Ritzon Hashem. He understands it's the will of God, and he tries to adapt and learn from him. Midever ba'ofel yalo. What does it say? He walks from pestilence that go at night. Miketev from yashud saharayim, from the destruction that ravages, but saharayim at noon in daylight. And Rashi says, what is Ketev and Dever? He says, those are Shadim, different names of demons. One destroys at night, and one destroys at noon, Rashi says, meaning the light of day. Evan Ezra learns similarly. He says that the Shoresh of Yashud, that ravages, comes from Shadim, from demons, man's imagination. Mitzudas David says that Dever and Ketev are mazikim. And what is a mazik? A mazik is something that can harm a person. And Radak says that one damages at night because of the night cold, and the other at noon because of the heat of the day. Now we know what is a mazik. So the Meiri states in Brachos, it's a bad philosophy. It's a bad philosophy. That's why mezuzah saves a person from mazikim. Why? Why? Mezuzah has the concept of Achdus Hashem, and it's placed on the door of one's house, so that when one goes out into the world and he's in the world of conquest and he takes security and how much business he can accomplish, kochi votzim yadi, those are false values. He comes back into his house, those are damaging concepts, and he sees the mezuzah and he recognizes the source of reality, achdus Hashem, and he comes into his home and he may take security and the physical pleasures of a nice and big house, and he recognizes, he sees the mezuzah, and he recognizes that's not the source of reality. So the mazikim, which this person are protected from when he's Yoshe B'Seisel Elyon, is he's involved in the world of Chachma. He's involved in the world of ideas, and that's his protection. And when a person goes out during the day, Rashi says the demon, when a person goes out, during the day, the demons that overwhelm him is because he's in a state of conquest. He's involved in pursuit of daily actions in the light of day. His energies are directed to achieving a livelihood and the acquisition of wealth and material possessions. And as we said, that presents a different demon. It's a demon of Ketev. It damages. Ebenezer says, what is this Ketev demon? He says it means Carissa. It cuts him off. When a person is involved in his daily life, which is a reality it to him, when the sun is above, he's engaged in mundane actions. What's significant to him is only whether the business deal closed or how much money I'm going to make. It's just material wealth. His value system is distorted. He's wasting his energies pursuing mastery of the limited world of the physical. He's working for more money that he'll never, ever need. He has enough money to subsist, but he continues. Then Kestef presents itself. Pachad, fear, in terms used for the nighttime. During the day, it's Ketev, Krisa. His energies are misguided. That's the demon of Ketev presents itself. He's cut off from the world, the true world of reality, the ideation of world of Chachma, which by nature, it's very limited. Now, when I saw this Mitzudas David on this pasuk, it blew my mind. He says as follows. He says, what is Ketev, the daytime demon? It's a mazik that robs one's soul during the day. It's amazing. When a person is involved in the world of material acquisition, the soul of man is stolen. His perception is of reality. His chachma, his true recognition of what's significant in life is robbed from him. It's distorted. When he goes to work on a daily basis and it's not a means, but it's an end, his soul is going to be robbed from him. It's an amazing mitzvah of it. And at night, when he's challenging his energies to the intellect, a true chacham, and during the day he works only to allow him to get back to his learning and continue to pursue his true existence, that's the person that Moshe is saying will not be damaged by Ketef. He will not be cut off from the real world. On the contrary, there's no cutting off because that is his world. He exists in that world. And therefore, the demons, the fruits of his imagination, the mazikim, the bad philosophies, play no role in such a person's life. I mean, the pasukim, it's just incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us the secret of happiness. That's what this whole parag is talking about. It goes further. He says, look, Yipol mitzavcha elef uravava miminecha. 1,000 will be stationed at your side and 10,000 uravava miminecha at your right hand. But elecha, to you, lo yigash. They will not approach. Rashi that 1,000 demons will be stationed in your life and they will not approach you to harm you. Evan Ezra says, the shade of God, El Shakai, protects him and he sees the dever when it comes and it falls to his right and left. Radak says, in battle, when people are fighting, you will walk between them in place, in a straight line, as they fall in battle on your right and left. They're all referring to the same phenomena. There are thousands of dangers lurking at man's side. The world of the physical has countless temptations capable of corrupting man. 10,000 is man's right hand. Why 10,000 is right hand? Because the right hand represents man's progress, man moving forward in the world. There are countless dangers that can envelop a person when he's pursuing the world of the physical. You know, any kind of enticements, there's so many, can shatter his life. However, a person who's involved in the true world of the metaphysical, the shade of Betzel Shakai protects him. He's based in reality, and he can identify the devil. He is cognizant of the dangers. And as Ebenezer says, they can't harm him, but they fall to his right and left. In the daily life, people are battling with their passions, their instincts, their animalistic tendencies. And the Radak says that many fall prey to these enemies. But for a person whose his lawn b'sefer shalkai, that God is the source of reality, and that's the only existence that matters to him, what happens, they will fall on his side. He will walk between them. And they use the lashon that he will pass, Radak uses the lashon, they will pass between them b'shalom, in peace. Now, what does it mean, b'shalom? So we all know what the Rosh Yeshiva taught us many times. What does shalom really represent? The Talmid Chacham is not the one who goes to negotiate peace between warring parties. It means, of course, he'll do that, but it means Talmid Chacham Mavim Shalom B'Olam means inner harmony. He is not involved in the struggles of the world of the physical. He is living a true existence in the world of reality, and the possessions and the enticements of physical pleasures are not alluring to him, because he recognizes the dangers of, and limitation, and pursuing such a false life is going to lead to man's downfall. The physical world will come to an end. It is death. But a chacham, on the contrary, he understands the limitations of the physical existence. So when a tragedy occurs, if there's social distancing, he can't go to bars, he can't go ahead and chase all the physical pleasures, it doesn't bother him. He recognizes and realizes that the physical world is an expression of the laws of nature, but that's not his compelling existence. His existence is in the world of ideas, with Borei Olam as the source. And he pursues the world of the eternal. And he walks, as the Radak says, b'shalom, in harmony in this world. It's painting, as I say, it's painting of a picture of a personality, of where man can function at the highest level. And even in the most devastating circumstances, he can actually flourish. And I did this on a personal note. Before we go further, I did this pereg when I had suffered tragedy, many tragedies, I had trying time for many years, and this pereg in Tehillim really helped me get through it. That's why I think it's important, and I call it the vaccine for the coronavirus, because this is a climactic event in a person's life. And many people, unfortunately, in Am Yisrael have experienced death of loved ones at this time. And I think when a person learns this parag in the proper framework, it'll give him some fortitude and some koach to continue, to go on with his life. And then the pasuk continues, guys, please, if there are any questions, speak up, or any comments. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this parag is giving us very esoteric ideas, but I think ideas that are quite significant. And then he says, this person, what's going to happen to this person? What's his perspective on other people? I mean, he has to live in the world of the social, right? We're taught, I mean, Rav's pshat on Ger V'Toshav is amazing. We're taught, Avraham Avinu, when he wanted to buy the Maaseh HaMakpela from Ephron, he tells him, Ger V'Toshav Anochi Eimachem. I'm a stranger and I'm a citizen. Diametrically opposed words. What does it mean, a stranger and a citizen at the same time? Avraham Avinu was a respected businessman that coins were minted, Aver Anai, Ivri. He was a functioning member of society. He was a Toshav, but he was a Ger. In terms of his values, he was Yoshev B'Sefer Elyon. He was teaching people the source of reality is Borei Olam. He was Hikar Boro. And that was a different type of existence. That is the personality that Moshe is describing here. When he looks at the world, the pasuk says, Rak Be'Necha Sabit. He gazes only with his eyes, Vishlumas Rishon Tireh, and he will see the destruction of the world. of the wicked of this world. What does that mean? Radak, he will see the death of the wicked who do not dwell b'seser elyon, as this person does, and you shall remain in peace. It means a chacham only gazes with his eyes. They're not blurred by olas leva, by the emotions, by his instinctual pleasures. He analyzes. Tabit is to analyze. He looks to understand hashkachat Hashem, which of course is the highest level of knowledge. A chacham looks with an eye towards understanding. His vision is not blurred. He sees a Russia who outwardly appears to be enjoying the pleasures of the physical, but he sees and he sees and realizes that by such an existence will never lead to happiness. Its nature is limited, and the person is the Hollywood lifestyle, I like to call, is deceiving themselves. They really chasing fantasies, the worlds of drugs, the worlds of suicide, the world of wine, all to insulate them because they can't handle their wasted lives, the wasted life that is powered by the world of the fantasy, the world of the physical. It's an imperfect existence, and a chacham will be able to realize that. And he won't live their life, but he'll remove himself from that life. And he'll realize, Ki ata Hashem machzi elyon, that you, Borei Olam, you are my protector, the one of Most High, Samtum Onecha. You dwelling there. You made your dwelling with Hashem. Hashem is my refuge. In the Most High, you made your dwelling. So what does Rashi say that means? It means that Hashem is his refuge, and you made Hashem the seat of your trust. And Eben Ezra is, you placed your trust in Hashem, who is always above. Radak, and we know that means not literally, we'll get to it. And Radak says that this is referring to an individual who has a tranquility in his life because he placed his abode with Hashem, who's his protection. What they're saying is that a man who places trust in his HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, and Hashem is his protection, and Hashem is his Ma'onecha, is the place where he dwells, where he lives, that is his reality. He's sheltered by this knowledge. And in fact, the Eben Ezra says on this pasuk, amazing what we said before, the Mitzvah David, this is a description of an individual who is an Eved Hashem. He's not an Eved Hashem, as we said, is a Ben Chorin. He's not enslaved by the passions of the Nefesh of Bahamut. And what happens to such a person? Lo se'una elecha ra, v'nega lo yikrav ba'elecha. No harm will befall him, nor a plague. Amazing, he uses that word. V'nega and a plague will not draw near to his tent. Again, this is talking about now Hashkachas Hashem. And it's telling us that Hashkachas Hashem, Borei Olam set this world up in such a way that a person who lives in the world of reality and God's existence is compelling to him. He's an Eved Hashem. So the Pasuk says, no harm will befall you and a plague won't come close to your tent. And Radak says, the una, lo sa'ana elecha, means will never occur. Hashem will not allow evil to befall you. Ba'alecha, Radak says, even your wife and children, even them will harm evil. Now, you can go ahead and say that there's a special hashgacha that Hashem will protect his wife and children, but at a simple level, it means that an individual who lives a life based upon that as a source of reality, his wife and children will reflect those values as well. And they will also live the Seser Elyon. It'll be a different type of existence. And therefore, they will participate in that kind of lifestyle, and they will also be protected. Their existence will be based upon the true existence, and by definition will be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the closer, of course, that a person is to God, he will be shielded from harm. So I mean, you know, that's what the Rambam says, right? Man is affected by the sun's rays the closer he is to the sun. The person of MS, as more he learns and grows in the world of Chachma, the more he is closer to the source of reality, the more he's under the providence of Borei Olam. And what's going to happen to such a person? These things will not happen. Why? Ki malachav yitzava loch lishmorcha b'chol darecha. Because he will command, Hashem will command his angels on your behalf to guard you in all your ways. Now, what does that mean? Radak and the Ezra say yitzava loch means favurech, because of you, meaning because of your lifestyle, where you're involved in the world of reality, the laws of nature will be such that the travails of daily existence aren't going to affect you in the way it affects other people. Meiri explains that God creates conditions to guide man away from dangers. And what is a malach? A malach is really a force in nature that carries out Ritzon Hashem. A person who recognizes reality and tries to lead his life based upon a sense of justice and does not sway to the world of the emotions and the instinctual pleasures, but channels his energies in pursuit of Chacham Sabore, then what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, that Hashem will arrange that such a person will be successful. And certain events and conditions will be set up in nature that will prevent him from danger and allow him to use his bechira and achieve success. Hashkacha will set up situations that he will be successful. He'll meet the right Rebbe, he'll meet the right Chaver, he'll have situations in life that the temptations of the temporal will overwhelm a regular person, but it will not this person. He'll function in a level where he recognizes he'll work in life and he'll make money only so that he can have enough time. When he has enough, he'll sit and learn. And what happens? The world of Hashgacha will allow that to occur to a person. He'll be successful early in life, and then he'll be able to spend this time in Torah, or he'll be able to work a half a day and learn half a day, which Baruch Hashem and our yeshiva, many fellows have demonstrated this lifestyle. And then what does it say? What would the malachim do? Akapayim yasuncha hen tigof be'even raglecha. On hands they will bear you, lest your foot stumble on stones. Eben Ezra says, Ki'ilu. What it means is the malachim will protect you, ki'ilu, as though they carried you on the palm of your hands. The Metzuzas David states, this is a mashal. What's the mashal to? What we've been saying. Listen, al godel hashmira v'hashkacha, about the greatness of God's supervision and providence. The pasuk is teaching us the malachim, the agents of God, the forces of nature will protect the person in his quest for truth. And living a just existence will be easy for him, as though these forces carry him on the palms of their hands, so that his foot will never strike a stone. God will ensure that the person's progress, his feet as he walks in the pursuit of knowledge, if attempted earnestly, and because he's drawn to Hashem as the source of reality by his Avas Hashem, then he is not impeded by obstacles that he may encounter. His feet will never strike a stone. Unkelis, actually, is amazing. He says, Pentigo be'efen, perhaps you will stumble. And he says, because of your inclinations, because of your Yetzirah, it's not he's going to be able to combat his angel, Tirgos Yetzirah, every day of your life. A chacham recognized that. And what's going to happen? What's the malachim? What's the natural law set up that what's going to happen? Al shachal v'fesen tidroch tirmos kafir v'sanin. I think Moshe Rabbeinu's interpretation of this pasuk, when I read it, it shook me. It's incredible. He says, on a young lion and a cobra you will tread, you will trample the young lion and the serpent. Ebenezer tells us, if you step upon and trample these wild animals, they still won't harm you. You know, when a person, they tell you when you see a dangerous animal to freeze. But this person, he can step on them and trample them and they will not harm them. But Suvadas David says, you will trample them with your feet and they will not harm you. What the Pasuk is referring to, again, is the daily temptations and occurrences that harm harm a person, have the potential to cause devastating harm. But when he's drawn into the world of the physical and traps the person with the temptations of physical pleasures and allurements of the fantasy, but such a person, he will walk on a lion and a cobra. What's a kafir? A kafir represents a powerful lion when it's young and untamed, wild and unpredictable. A chacham, and it's referring to Yetzaleva Adam Raminura, right? And when a child is young, he just lives in the world of the instinctual. He lives in his mother's bosom. His needs are taken care of. He's food, he cries, everything is taken care of him. And as he matures and reaches the age of adolescence, many people maintain that personality, always looking for somebody to take care of him. And now it's no longer the mother and father, and they have a childish notion of God there to take care of his needs. But a chacham, he will trample and dominate the evil inclination. He'll recognize it's a yetzer hara. He'll recognize, albeit it's powerful and unruly and wild, and its temptations are unpredictable, he will trample the mighty kafir. And then what does it say? And the cobra he will trample, the beguiling serpent. The enticements of the fantasy are very devious, and at times they sliver and attack man in his leg and prevent his progress. But Chacham will be immune to that. Why? Ki vicha shak va'afalteyu, askaveyu ki yad hashemi. Now we're going to see what Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to the end of the perek, and we're going to see what the climax is for a person who lives the right life, a life of emes. He says, for he yearns me, and I shall rescue him, meaning Borei Olam. I shall fortify him because he knows my name. Radak explains, Borei Olam is saying, I will fortify this person because he yearns for me, and because he knows my name, no mazik shall befall him. That's an amazing Radak. The highest level of providence that any person can reach while still in his physical body, that's what he's referring to. Evan Ezra says, I will protect him, and an enemy will not be able to do evil to him because he knows the sod of my name. Masudas David says, since he knows my name, I will save him from the chayos that kill, the wild animals that kill. What the Mefarshim are really referring to, it's an amazing thing. They're telling us this is the climax, the theme of this parag. And that's why it's called Hazelos Menizikim. An individual leads his life based upon knowledge of a Borei Olam, and that is his source of reality. And he does not allow the physical world to play a coercive part in his life. God will protect him. It's set up in such a way that when he's engaged in chachma and does not waste his life in the powers of the fantasy, he's protected from Ezekiel. But what is, who is this person? He knows the sod of God's name, which means he's pursuing the highest level of metaphysical knowledge that a person with a guf, with as a physical being, can obtain. He's involved in Yedias Hashem. And God will protect this individual because he understands providence, Hashgacha, and how it functions, and he will not fall prey to the instinctual forces that harm everybody else. His knowledge renders the perfection of the soul at such a high level that his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him from harm. We can't appreciate this concept fully because we perceive as harmful, as they can be, the physical pleasures sometimes, you know, are a reality to us. But this is talking about a person who's, I'd say, on a different wavelength. His whole perspective in life, his moving forward, progress from youth to old age, he's functioning on an entirely different level. Such a person, he will call to Hashem, and I will answer him. Anochi b'tzara achatzeu b'chavdeu. I am with him in distress, and I will rescue him, and I will honor him. So Radak says, if he finds such a person, finds himself in a place of tzara, in danger, he will not be afraid, because I am with him. And I will rescue him, Hashem is talking, so that no nezek will occur. That's the words of the Eben Ezra. The Radak. The Eben Ezra says, when he calls my name, when this person calls out to Hashem, then any danger which befalls the people of his generation, according to my desires, I will protect him, so he will not need anything except me. Radak says, I will honor him, I will give him honor and favor him in the eyes of all people. And I think this is really true today. You see, a person whose only source of security is with a Borei Olam, based upon the life of a Chachma, he will be saved by Mazikim, even in a dangerous place. This person knows when there are physical harms, and there are dangers in the world, there's a virus out there, he will shelter. He will go in home. He knows that the Derech HaTeva is a reflection and an expression of Ritzon Hashem. There's no mystical protection. He realizes that to live in line with reality. And a person who looks to God as a source of reality, he's not affected by the emotional and instinctual forces that could present itself in a makom tzara. He will act rationally. He's not going to be harmed. Other people will fall prey to the dangers. An entire generation can have a certain philosophical malady, and unfortunately, they could cause harm. I mean, people could think of Kadosh Ani, like Korach, Kulanu Kadoshim. It's not so simple. How many people were able to approach Har Sinai? There was boundaries. The Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Magefa teaches people it's not simple to approach God. A person has to use his mind. There's no protective shield just simply by a mystical protection, but you have to use your Chachma. And what's going to happen? And I see it. People, and I'm not saying it as a personal accolade, but a chacham recognizes when there are dangers outside, when there are germs that can harm, he runs. He goes inside. He doesn't go to Minyan. And people told me, they said they always revered, so a friend of mine called me up, he always revered these Hasidic Rebbe's, and he wanted to know, how come they didn't protect us from this? And he sees, his eyes are open. And that's what this Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. The only protection is one who balances life. He lives a life based upon objective reality. That means the expression of Ritzon Hashem. That's the Derech HaTeva, And of course, the Haskachas Hashem, he recognized that in his life. And then what's the climax? What's the greatest blessing that this person is going to have? So Moshe Rabbeinu ends the parag. It's an amazing ending. Orech yom imasbiyehu. With length of days, I will satiate him. Va'areyu bishuasi. And he'll see my salvation. Radak says that I will satisfy him with Orach Yomim in this world, and in the world to come, his soul will be before me, and when God redeems Bnei Yisrael from Gullus, I will grant him life in the Tchias HaMesim. Amazing Radak. Evan Ezra, I will fill Misper Yomim, his Misper Yomim in his days, and glory will be and he will obtain glory when he will be Nene Miziv Hashdina. Orach Yamim is length of days. It's not a quantitative phenomena. It means his existence will be qualitatively satisfying because he will be living in the world of the ideational, and he'll partake of an eternal existence. Will be the most satisfied life. At the end of his life, he will not bemoan the termination of his physical existence. But on the contrary, he will be satisfied because now his focus comes to the world of perfection, the world of the soul. And that's his true salvation. A person will ultimately experience Nena Miziv Hashchina because he's partaking of the eternal existence. It's a different qualitative existence. And I just want an end to give an appreciation of who this person is. I remember when we were yeshiva, I don't know if it was Rebbe who showed me these pictures. I saw it in the yeshiva from one of my chaverim. It was a picture of Rav Moshe Zatzal. Maybe Rabbi Friedman showed it to me. It was a picture of Rav Moshe, and it was a series of pictures. And it shows him when he was old and enfeebled, and he shows him walking in the sun. Someone is holding an umbrella over his head to protect him from the sun. And he's walking like very slowly. And you see each step is difficult, and it's taking his energies with each physical step. And then the last picture, it shows him sitting at a park bench with a sefer in front of him, and his eyes are animated, and his hands are coming to life, and you see him explaining the Sefer Torah as an individual who spent his life, Yoshev Sefer Elyon, and then there's a picture of the hundreds of Talmidim sitting there just in thirst of his Chachma, and that's the life that Moshe Rabbeinu is describing for us, and I think this Pereg, especially at this particular time, where we have climactic events that are affecting all of us, I think it's significant to have this perspective of an individual who has the opportunity to use his bechira to live this kind of existence. It's a beautiful existence. Moshe Rabbeinu weaves us a picture of a personality of a person whose existence will be the happiest existence, and ultimately he will live a life where he will be zochet techias amesim and he'll be nena miziv hashchina at the highest level. Okay, guys, I feel like we should say yiskadal v'yiskadash like a pulpit rabbi. That was not my intention. My intention was just to weave a picture. But if anyone has any comments or thoughts, please speak up. Silence. I hope that's an indication that people were listening. Okay, guys. Have a good day. Yeah.
Thank you. That was very good.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope people.
It's good. Okay, it's guys. Good. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, guys.